From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 10th day of September, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, a bipartisan group of senators are meeting this week to discuss energy issues. And speaking of energy, the big three automakers would like Congress to authorize the Energy Security Act of 2007. The car dealers have a lot of low-interest money at stake in the legislation. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more news stories. And then I'll tell you just how the price of farmland in the state of Illinois has behaved over the last few years. You know it, but you still won't believe it. The percentage increases are dramatic. And as we wrap up this half hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. They finished up this way today. September contract in the wheat pit down 4¾ at $7.06¾ of a cent. December futures at $7.25¾ down 4¾. And the March contract in the wheat pit at $7.48¾, a nickel lower on the afternoon. From the corn pit nearby September at $5.22½ down 7. December, $5.36¾, 7¾ lower, and the March futures down 7¾ as well. $5.55¾, the settlement price. May contract, $5.68, the settlement for the corn pit, down 7½ cents. September soybeans, $11.81½, down 27½. November at $11.78, 23 lower. January down 23 at $11.94¾. And the March contract from the bean pit at $12.08. And three quarters down 23 cents. September bean meal at $3.36.80, down $4.40. September bean oil at $47.69, 49 cents lower. October live cattle at $101.65, a dollar lower. The September feeders were down a dollar at $109.85. And the October lean hogs at $67.50 were up 60 cents on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. Nearby October crude oil futures at $102.70, down 56 cents a barrel. November at $102.30, down $1.06. Ethanol futures October contract, $2.16¾, 1¾ lower. Natural gas at $7.41¼, 11¾ lower. The RBOB gasoline at $2.67¼, down rather up 1⅛ for the day. And the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, a penny lower at $2.91¼. October propane at $1.60 is a penny higher on the afternoon, and the September gold futures are now trading at $757.90, down $29.20. That's a 15-minute delay, as is the Dow Jones Industrial Average number at 11,334. It's just about 104 points higher on the day. U.S. dollar trading at 79.83 is up 0.37, and the CRB index now at 358 is down 2.76 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight in western and southern Illinois and in far southern Indiana, increasing cloudiness. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 46 in east central Indiana to 62 in far southern parts of Illinois. Tomorrow in western and southern Illinois and in far southern Indiana, mostly cloudy. A few scattered showers arriving. Elsewhere, increasing cloudiness. Highs will range from 77 in the far northern part of Illinois tomorrow to 87 in the far south. The extended forecast calls for showers and thunderstorms to spread across the two-state region on Thursday night. They'll continue right on through Friday. More rain Friday night and Saturday night. Right now, it appears the heaviest rain, says Ed, and greatest coverage of rain will shift northward into the northern section of the two states Friday night into Saturday morning.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On a Wednesday afternoon, it's time to take a look at the agricultural futures markets here on the Closing Market Report. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the outside markets. We've talked a great deal about crude oil and the gold futures and all sorts of things that pertain to commodity markets and the big funds. What are you seeing?
Well, the market is basically focusing on the big money center banks again, and the one in particular that they're watching very closely is Lehman Brothers. And every once in a while, I just kind of give a pinch myself, and I'm tickled I don't work for one of those big money center companies. It's a couple of things. You know, it's hard for them to get new capital. Their customers are leaving them, and some of the brightest and best employees are leaving them. They're either trying to sell the whole farm or parts of the good farm, and it's going to be, if they survive, a smaller and different company. And as a result of that, we're hearing continuation of this RAB Capital PLC, who basically is a billion-dollar fund. And they're in the process of liquidating and trying to freeze their assets for 3 years. This is one of the reasons why we're seeing the commodity debacle in the gold, silver, and probably some of the commodities as well. So we're seeing a stronger U.S. dollar, which is surprising some people. But probably the best news is that we're seeing a stock market that's stable. And we're starting to see, you know, some of the energy stocks stabilize. And in time, it probably means that things will get back to normal. And it will also be a help to the farmer and the commodity trader for things to get back more to normal if we can get these big funds liquidated and go back to trading more fundamentals in the marketplace.
Now, tell me, Paul Cooley, what's a good fundamental price for corn and for soybeans, based on fundamentals only, given the new input cost structure? What do you think?
Well, you know, I would imagine somewhere in this $5 to $6 range, and in soybeans somewhere between $12 and $13 is probably, and I bet our friend Darrell Good wouldn't argue with me too much on that one either, but I think it's definitely we do need to get ethanol profitable, and we need to get the farmers thinking more about raising more corn and soybeans next year. And when we go out to these meetings, there's basically we want to plant less corn. Things don't look very good, and I think most of them are going to be very strong holders of the grain, but we do need to see a little more optimism out here, and hopefully we will when we see some stability come back in the marketplace. Hopefully we'll put this deflationary idea that's quite popular with some people to bed here in the next few weeks.
Well, you've just given us two reasons for the beans to go up and a price tag that's higher than where they are. I take it you're feeling like they should go higher.
Well, you know, we're going to go through some important stages in here. We're going to go through conservatively, the weather community says somewhere between 1 and 6 inches of rain, 3 to 6 by one forecaster, and 1 to 4 by another prominent weather forecaster that I have the most confidence in for Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. And we all know that 6 inches would be too much. The other thing is that we'll be looking at these harvested. We're going to be seeing beans harvested probably a little quicker than we thought 2 weeks ago. But we will get some, you know, verification of yields, and, of course, that's going to help confirm if this next USDA report is accurate or not.
And speaking of which, what do you think the numbers will show?
Well, I'm of the opinion that we'll inch down in the corn 153 area, and I think the soybean number should be something under 40 and a half bushels, maybe 40 and a quarter, 40 bushels to the acre. There definitely is going to be some areas in the U.S. that's going to have some good production, but my contention is that the late planted crop and the dry August, I think, will be the bellwether. I think the depth of kernel is something that we're going to have to watch, and also the size of the soybean seed as it's being harvested in the Midwest.
I guess we'll know Friday morning at 7:30, and then I don't think you know about this yet, but starting next Monday, we'll extend the closing market report to a full hour, and Joe Prusaki will be our first guest, and we will take calls for him. He's with USDA NASS, and that'll start at about 2:36 in the afternoon, Central Time, right here on most of these radio stations. So that should be fun. We'll have
Joe on. That sounds like a thumbs up, and hopefully a lot of people will take advantage of the call-ins.
Well, I hope so. It'll be an hour for the closing market report. We'll start that next Monday and run it for a full month. Anything to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day, and hope we don't get too wet over the weekend.
All right. Thanks much.
Thank you.
That is Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the closing market report. Happens on Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Two quick notes. One, if I haven't said it recently, and I know I haven't, thank you very much for listening. Dave and I really appreciate that. And the other is, Dave's here now with the Agricultural Newscast.
In agricultural news, a bipartisan group of senators are meeting on Friday to discuss energy issues. The summit reportedly has the goal of finding areas upon which Republicans and Democrats can find agreement in energy policy, thus perhaps allowing the Senate to approve energy legislation before adjourning at the end of this month. Ford, GMC, and Chrysler are pitching a proposal to Congress to get up to $50 billion in low-interest loans to shore up the domestic auto industry. The loan guarantees are part of the Energy Security and Independence Act of 2007, but Congress has yet to authorize the funds. Meanwhile, yesterday's federal deficit estimate of $407 billion does not include the pledge of up to $200 billion to bail out Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Over the weekend, the Bush administration seized the two struggling mortgage companies. U.S. auditors have gone back to Mexico to reassess meat processing plants that failed safety inspections earlier this year. And Mexico says it is reevaluating recent decisions to block meat imports from some U.S. plants. Mexico says a technical verification plan submitted in August is being implemented, and violations found by the U.S. Food Safety and Inspection Service are being corrected. The European Commission has approved the Liberty Link soybean event A270412 for importation. The trait gives soybean resistance to Ignite and Liberty herbicides. The trait has already received approval from Australia, China, Japan, Mexico, New Zealand, Russia, South Africa, and Taiwan. Officials at Bayer Crop Science are considering launching the soybeans in 2009. That would be the first major herbicide-tolerant trait in soybeans since the introduction of Roundup Ready soybeans in 1996. And the CEO of Monsanto says science and technology can meet the world's fuel, feed, and food needs. Hugh Grant told a group of Kansas City businessmen yesterday, quote, "I don't see why we can't do all three." Grant says more needs to be done to increase corn yield in Brazil, India, and Mexico, which average only 50 bushels to the acre. In Grant's words, if they only doubled their yields, it would unlock 4 billion bushels of new corn. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you of a couple of things. First off, as always, visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find our free weekend newsletter. You can subscribe. It's over on the right-hand side of the page. If you do, you'll love it. You'll keep it. If you don't, well, come back to the same page and just hit unsubscribe. It's that easy. It's at willag.org. There you'll also find MP3 files and a way to sign up to have these programs delivered to you as a podcast. They'll automatically download to your computer each and every business day of the week. That's all at willag.org. Speaking of business days of the week, starting next Monday and for the following month, this program will be expanded on some of these stations from 1/2 hour in length to a full hour in length. And in the second part of the program, we'll be asking questions of guests and opening the phone lines to you. It all happens on the Closing Market Report starting next Monday, September the 15th, and running for a full month until October the 10th. We'll call it Our Harvest Hour. Now, up next, you know, it cost a lot more money this year than it did last to buy a farm in the state of Illinois. I'll tell you more about the double-digit increases. The average farm real estate value for Illinois in 2008 is $5,000 an acre. That's according to a new University of Illinois Extension study. This is the highest value on record, says Dale Latz, University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist. He prepared the report based on data from the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Services. The full report, titled Fourth Year in a Row of Double-Digit Increases for Illinois Farm Real Estate Values, is available on U of I Extension's FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. FarmDoc stands for Farm Decision Outreach Center. UIUC.edu is University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign Education. Altogether, it's www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. The $5,000 per acre figure includes the value of all the land and the buildings and is 15.5% higher than the 2007 average of $4,330 an acre. This increase marks the fourth year in a row of double-digit increases in the value of farmland in the state of Illinois, says Latz. The 2005 value increased 27.6%. The 2006 value increased 14.1%. And the 2007 value increased 13.9%. The 2008% increase was the second highest since 1977. Latz noted that the farm real estate values have shown a year-over-year increase in every year since 1988, or for 21 consecutive years. Since the year 2000, Illinois farm real estate values have increased 121%. Latz says the current strength in farmland values appears to be driven by higher corn and soybean prices, and the expectation that those prices will remain high due to strong demand. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Delphi facility, and Clymer's facility, rather, in Delphi, Indiana, joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about the cash grain market in your area at this time.
Right now, it's kind of volatile right now. Here in Clymer's, we're pretty well bought up, so our needs are pretty much met, and we've basically made our September bid equal to our harvest bid. But some of the corn processors here in north central Indiana are kind of a little bit short, and kind of getting their needs met and hand to mouth right now. Some guys are even in the teens, so a single digit under the deep right now for, you know, here this week or into the middle of next week, trying just to buy corn, just getting through the week until they can get some new corn at cheaper levels.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a premium to bring old crop out of the bin. Farmers budged along to do that while they're waiting for the corn to mature?
Exactly, and then there's some premiums that are starting to show up even for us in the train market for early beans here. Say we have a quick ship premium here by the 19th of September, for example, at some pretty good levels versus, you know, here towards our other harvest, about an 80-cent premium versus our harvest bid if you can get in here in the next week and a half.
Oh, that is a heck of a premium, 80 cents for a quick ship in the next week and a half. You think you have farmers that can take advantage of it? Are there beans that far along?
We've had our first beans cut on Monday, had three or four guys cutting today, and should get our first actual load of these beans into the elevator today. Some guys were taking to the bin first and drying it, but these beans that are going in the elevator today came out of the field about 14% moisture, so not too terribly bad.
Do you know what kind of yield they've been bringing in at this point?
Yeah, every guy's saying between 42 and 45 on the yields that we've talked to, and had a guy start cutting corn yesterday. And his corn was coming out of the field about 28 to 30% moisture. He was drying it down to 15 before he brought it here to Climbers. And his was running about 85 to 90 yield on that, too.
On the corn?
On the corn. So.
Only 85 to 90, and he was drying?
Sorry, 185.
185.
Sorry, 185 to 190 on that corn, yeah.
Why was he drying it to 15? That seems awfully dry.
It does. I was kind of wanting to. I don't know if he has operator, because a little bit wasn't watching or what was going on with that, but he was drying it down pretty far there.
Well, it was just enthusiastic.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet it gets fixed quickly. So we'll see about that. As you look out ahead, what do you see in the next month for both cash basis? Will it get better as we go into harvest season? My doubt is that cannot be the case, but maybe there's something there. And how do you see the futures markets unfolding?
I think cash basis here, we're at 3,500 for new crop. We might see that as we get through harvest start to uptick a little bit here, just with the fact that they're so competitive right now. We've had a pretty decent amount of storage here built on farm and at commercials that need to be utilized. So that might make some of the country elevators get more aggressive on their basis, which will make us. But we've gotten some pretty good books on at these levels right now. As far as the futures market, I think it's pretty much a consensus that we are maybe don't quite believe that the corn's out there, and that maybe we overshot our yield numbers from the USDA did here a couple weeks ago. So maybe once we get here in the harvest, see this market start to rally a little bit, kind of maybe mirror what we did last year and rally into springtime, especially when you start mixing acreage talks and what we need for 09.
Let's see. I'm trying to back figure just quickly. 185, did you back figure what that would be at 18%? Is that, that's got to be close to 200, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what how I figured out.
Yeah, and then on the beans, that sounded pretty shy off, maybe by 5 or 12 bushels. Is that right?
That's kind of what I figured out too, Todd.
But maybe not so bad for an early bean. Anyway, I guess we can talk about more about that next week and see how far along you are and whether you're getting more shipments in. Hopefully that'll be the case.
Sounds good. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Thanks much, Matt. Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons. He's in Delphi, Indiana at their Climbers facility. There's also an ethanol production facility there. We'll talk with him again next week. In just a couple of minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The University of Illinois will ask the state for nearly 8% more in its budget for the next fiscal year. As the numbers are being finalized on the current budget, U of I officials say competitive salaries, strategic projects, and statewide mandates like teacher education are three reasons why the university needs $109 million more in fiscal 2010. If trustees approve the request tomorrow, it'll go on to the State Board of Higher Education, then on to lawmakers and the governor's office for action next year. The U of I is also requesting $454 million in capital projects, including another request to renovate the aging and now nearly empty Lincoln Hall. Governor Blagojevich says lawmakers should accept the changes he's proposing to Illinois' ethics legislation. The governor says he doesn't want lawmakers to override his veto and put the suggested changes he made into separate legislation they'd consider. He says if they do that, lawmakers will come up with reasons not to call the bill or find ways so it doesn't pass. Blagojevich says lawmakers have an opportunity during the current session in Springfield to approve the changes. The governor used his amendatory veto power to suggest that both the Illinois Senate and House be required to approve lawmakers' pay raises for them to take effect. The House is meeting this afternoon. Democrat Jill Long Thompson is asking the Indiana Inspector General's office to investigate Republican Governor Mitch Daniels' election year use of state aircraft. A Fort Wayne newspaper reported last week Daniels logged about 85% of many flights in state aircraft in the first 7 months of his election year, as he did in all of last year. ComEd customers in Illinois will soon pay $8 or $6.
Listening to the Closing Market Report, I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about rainfall in the Midwest, if, when, how it might come, and whether we'll get cold after that or not.
Well, it does look like for the next few days there will be a stream of moisture coming up. This moisture actually is coming from a tropical cyclone named Lowell. That was, in fact, still is located off the Baja California-Mexico coast. It's a long ways away from the Midwest, but there are a number of showers and thunderstorms already building up across the southwestern plains, and it's just a matter of a day and a half here, and we'll start bringing some of that rain across the Midwest. So showers and thunderstorms are expected as we go through the afternoon on Thursday, and more likely it's going to be a Friday-Saturday event for the heart of the Midwest, and a little bit of rain will linger on Sunday. And then, of course, we have our friend Ike, which isn't going to be much of a friend, I'm afraid. It is going to slam into Texas with a great deal of intensity, and there's going to be a lot of serious damage down that way from that storm. The remnants of the storm will come up through Oklahoma, eastern Kansas, and into parts of Missouri. And I expect to see some of the rain to move through the Ohio River Valley. But by the time it gets into the Ohio River Valley, it'll be a very tame event, and we shouldn't see any excessive rains. It should be a beneficial precipitation event for those areas that have been dry for so long, like southern Indiana and parts of Kentucky and even southern Ohio, possibly. The model data at midday today kind of took its time bringing some of the remnants up across the Midwest, but I feel pretty confident we're going to see at least some rain from this hurricane eventually. The cold weather that was at one time advertised across the upper Midwest on the midday models today was wiped out. I'm not quite convinced that that is a change that is likely to verify. But I do agree that there should be a lessening of the cold that was advertised across some of the northernmost parts of the Midwest. We're talking about the 17th through the 19th, and during that period of time in previous model runs, there was a threat of frost and freezes from North Dakota over to northern parts of Michigan. And it looks like at the midday today, most of that was reduced down to maybe some patchy soft frost and nothing that would be seriously threatening to the majority of the Corn Belt.
Maybe we should go back to the rainfall. Just exactly what kind of dates are we looking at? And when you say heavy rain, how heavy and will it be in areas that would be in the midst of the beginning of their harvest if it had not rained?
I don't think that there's going to be a lot of really excessive amounts of rainfall across the Midwest, but the rains will begin with this frontal boundary, and the remnants of that old tropical cyclone will start on Thursday, but more likely to be a Friday into Saturday, maybe early Sunday deal, and we'll probably see rainfall run 1/2 to 1.5 inches across the Midwest. There might be a few spots to get a little bit more than that. And I think just about everybody will get at least a little opportunity for rain. The lightest amounts will be in Kentucky, southern Illinois, and southern Indiana. Now, when Ike comes up around into the area, that will likely begin on Sunday late and continue into Monday and possibly Tuesday. And during that period of time, we'll see the rain from Missouri into southern Ohio and parts of Kentucky. And rain amounts in that corridor will probably run 3/4 of an inch to maybe 2 inches, or a possibility of a few spots maybe getting 3 inches. But that would be the extreme, and it would be mostly southern Illinois into probably northwestern Kentucky that would see the greatest amounts of rain.
Drew, thanks much.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That's the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.